Hi, everybody. The Complex PTSD Guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. So I had some technical issues just in the last few minutes with one of the episodes I had just done, and it was one that I said, this is a really important episode, and unfortunately, I had to delete the thing because something was going haywire with it. And the music changed. It was because I had tried to alter the title because I misspelled a word. I misspelled disingenuous. I put an E where there should have been an I. But just because I made one little edit, it went kind of out of whack. So let's just put it that way. But anyway, the episode was titled Dissociation, Disingenuousness, and Low Self-Esteem. And I talked about how important of an episode it was right at the beginning, right? Because in my opinion, it really is. Because I think dissociation, again, that is one of the symptoms of complex PTSD. Dissociation is such an important thing that if you're struggling with it and you keep having those feelings, they can really, I think, almost make a person mad. It can make a person mad because you can't figure out where it's coming from. You don't know where it's beginning. You know where it's ending because the ending feels like disingenuousness. Or you feel like you've lost it. And I'm speaking from my own experience here. Again, I'm not a doctor, but I'm telling you, I feel like I truly have struggled with dissociation. And for me, the feeling is, why am I here? I don't understand who I am. I feel like I lost my identity. I feel like I'm vacant. And I almost feel like a part of my personality has disappeared. And then I start to think back to things I used to like or things I used to do. And I think, well, I'm not going to share that with this person or these people or this group because they'll judge me or they won't know who I am or they'll say, who are you? Who really are you? And the thing is, you don't know how you got there. Like, you might think back, okay, I met this person and now I'm here with them in this scenario. But what actually led to it, right? Like, what actually led to you ever starting a relationship with them to begin with, and now you feel like you're not yourself? And this could go for like one person or a good friend or a group of people, whatever. And I'll give a couple examples of my own personal thing, which I actually didn't do that quite well in the original episode. So I'm kind of glad I'm redoing this episode. And I'll try to keep this a little bit shorter. The original episode was 35 minutes long. And that's like really long for me. But there's a lot that goes into this. So maybe that's why it was so long. So again, that episode that I ended up having to delete because it was having technical problems, it was titled Dissociation, Disingenuousness, and Low Self-Esteem. And I personally think that within the symptoms of complex PTSD, I would say about half of them are intricately connected to low self-esteem. That's my own personal opinion. I'm not diagnosing anybody with anything. And, you know, you may have low self-esteem or you may not. It may or may not be something you struggle with. I personally think dissociation is tied back into low self-esteem in some way. And I'm giving examples of how I personally have dealt with this. Again, it is one of the symptoms of complex PTSD, dissociation. So dissociation is basically feeling a disconnection and lack of continuity between thoughts, memories, surroundings, actions, and identity. And for me, the word identity is a big word there. So whenever I've struggled with this, you literally feel like like I had lost all past, I shouldn't say all past experiences, but it was almost like my personality had disappeared. It was almost like I was a blank slate. And yet at the time I would have been 28 years old or 32 years old. And it's like, why does this keep happening? Why am I keep finding myself in scenarios where I'm a blank slate and I feel like I've lost my voice or I feel like I've lost the ability to think rationally or think for myself. Like, where did this come from? And what it usually makes me want to do is go isolate. It makes me want to just get away from everybody because I feel weird. It's kind of a weird feeling. And I always kind of connected it to, and I probably didn't know that this was actually where this was coming from, but I always related to surrealism and also existentialism. So like shows that are existential would be like that show Absolutely Fabulous I talk about. It's an extremely almost disconnected, dreamlike, weird show. Other examples, more in the world of surrealism. Again, this is how kind of like how dissociation can feel. It almost feels like you're, one, it can make things feel like nothing matters, nothing really matters, and nothing makes any sense. That's the big thing. It makes you feel like nothing makes any sense. And it's almost like you're lost, like you don't know where you are, like you're out on the moon or something. So some movies that I would say describe surrealism, because these dream-like movies I always used to connect to, and I probably didn't know exactly that it reminded me of these feelings, but I was always drawn to the fact that they were so disconnected and in a lot of ways didn't make sense to me, but almost in like a relatable way. So like a lot of like the David Lynch movies. So I used to talk about a show called Twin Peaks a lot, and this character named Laura Palmer. I used to talk about that a lot, and I used to find that show so interesting. And even the DVD version that came out in like 2017, they did like a reboot, whatever. It's a very surrealist kind of existential type of thing, is how I would describe it. But that same director did movies like Eraserhead. He did Twin Peaks, David Lynch, and he did Mulholland Drive. I don't know if you've ever seen Mulholland Drive, but it's very surrealism. And I was telling you, I'd mentioned on the episode that I had to delete that I was watching the sixth season of The Sopranos. I had just happened to rent it. And the first few episodes, the first like episode 2 and 3, it's all about a dream sequence. And I was like, well, this is very surreal. You know, it took me a while to find the word for it, but that's how it can feel when you're in this dissociated state. It's almost like, you know, what is real? What is life? What is all this? How come I can't find my balance? How come I feel lost? You know, that's how I would explain it from my own experience again. But the word identity, I think, is very important. So again, it can relate to dissociation, can be very much like depersonalization, feeling detached from yourself and observing yourself from an external perspective, like you're on the outside, literally looking at yourself, like you're in a movie and you're watching yourself. That's how I would describe it. So in the title of this episode, I titled it Dissociation, Disingenuousness, and Low Self-Esteem. So I'm specifically zoning in on low self-esteem, when these feelings stem from that. And again, I don't think we're told this. This isn't something a therapist is going to sit down and say, you're struggling with low self-esteem. Like, they wouldn't say that, because that'd probably be a blow to your self-esteem, for one. But it's kind of taboo. And I told you guys, I didn't realize this until I was reading that book, The Novel Cure, by Ella Bertald and Susan Elderkin. And again, I read the book. It's like a bluish color with little blue medicine vials. There's another one that has, it's a red cover, but I read the blue one. So I'm only going by the one I read, the version I read. But this has a lot of different ailments in it. And one of them that was in here was fear of being a failure or something like that, or feeling like a failure. And that led to, it said, see also low self-esteem. And I thought, low self-esteem, you know, but feeling like a failure very much relates to feelings of incompetence, right? And when I looked up low self-esteem and I read what they had to say in this book, The Novel Cure, it really resonated. And I actually read about the novels they were recommending. Rebecca was one of them, and the other one was a Kestrel for Knave. And it just really resonated, like the meanings of these two books they were talking about, and how silly it is to compare ourselves to other people, especially when you find out the person you're comparing yourself to may not be as great as people thought they were. You know, there might be something else going on there, and there's no reason to compare yourself to them. So it's super silly to have low self-esteem. But so coming from low self-esteem, so if you think about it, if you're coming from that place where your self-esteem is so low that you are engaging with friend groups out of impulsivity, or maybe because they're self-deprecating kind of people, so maybe they're degrading, which that's not a good thing to be around, people who are degrading themselves, because they're probably thinking lowly of themselves, right? Or if they're abusing substances and they're making it seem like it's just fun and games and big whoop, you know, down the road, they may very well get in trouble, or they might get in trouble tomorrow and it's not going to be big whoop. You're going to realize, you know, maybe you were around people who were hurting themselves because they were degrading themselves, right? So sometimes I think based out of low self-esteem, we can do all kinds of things. We can end up getting with someone who talks down to us. And then later on, when we're in an abusive relationship, when it, you know, manifests, then we can start to feel dissociation. It's almost like you don't even know who you were, who you once used to be before you met this person. Like that's how I would kind of describe dissociation. Or if you're start hanging out with friends out of just sort of an impulsive kind of a thing, or sort of a random thing. I did an episode about randomness that technically was after this episode, but since I had to delete this episode, it's now before it. But that randomness, kind of hanging out with people just randomly, not even based on any real interest, just kind of random. Sometimes these feelings can pop up too, or if you're not speaking up for yourself, maybe when you don't want to do something, I think you can absolutely end up in situations where you feel dissociation, where you're feeling like you've lost your identity, where things aren't, where there's a lack of continuity. So like, you know, I'll just get to the remedy really quick. The remedy is engage with hobbies that bring you happiness. That's the remedy, in my personal opinion. A lot of people will use a sport. So sports, a lot of times, are ways that people engage with a hobby that makes them happy. And you can be on a team. It can be on your social media. You know, it's just a big part of your whole life when you're on like a sports team, like a local sports team. But it's based on your genuine happiness you get out of it, your genuine interest. And that's very important. And that's why I'm saying disingenuousness is a part of this title here. So if you get into impulsive friendships, or you're around people who are maybe degrading or abusing substances, or you're just sort of hanging out with people because maybe they just want to party, right? Or they're superficial friendships, right? Eventually, you're going to be engaged in some sort of activity with these people that isn't true to who you are. And that's disingenuine. So anytime that disingenuousness pops up and you start to feel like, who am I? Or you feel like you've lost you're losing your identity. The disingenuousness is a clue. It's a big clue that is a reason to maybe get away from that group of friends, or start sharing your real hobby that makes you happy with those people and see how they respond to it. And if they belittle it, or they make fun of it, or they're like, oh, shut up, let's just go drink, or, you know, blah, 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 whatever it is, if they start poo-pooing it, that's your clue to get away from them, right? That's your clue right there. You know, just say, maybe you're outgrowing this, whatever. And then I also compared this. So when I originally did this episode, I compared it to that whole concept of the insecure person who is doing everything for image. and they become a control freak to control the image. So if you, let's just take that person as an example, away from myself for a second here. And so for myself really quick, for me, I did do those things. I was in that friend group of partying, degrading. They eventually got into abusive relationships because they were thought so lowly of themselves. I was hanging out with other people with low self-esteem is what I was doing. I even joined a religion that people would compare to a cult. I was in it for like 3 months, but I did it because I wanted to understand it. I wanted to know more about it because I had grown up around it, and I wanted to understand why the people that were in it, I didn't understand. Well, it turns out that those people I grew up around were a unique situation within that religion. And that's what helped me realize it was to join it and realize not everybody in this religion is like this person. They just happen to be rude. And then I left it, I left the religion. But I really did that out of a place of low self-esteem. If I had confidence and high self-esteem, I would never need to join any faith just to figure it out. If I was a confident person, I wouldn't need to do that. I would just be like, it's just a different faith. They have their own beliefs. Big deal. This person just happens to be a rude person in that faith, right? It's not how I saw it at the time. I just felt very incompetent and very not understanding it, and it bothered me, and I wanted to make sense of it, so I joined it. But I got a few answers about things, but it was just another religion. That's all it is. So getting back to the insecure person. So if a person's insecure to where all they do is worry about their image, and they marry somebody for an image, they get into groups for an image, they have a certain house in a certain neighborhood just for an image, whatever the image might be, it's the activities that they engage with that will be where the disingenuousness pops up. So those activities. So like I said, for me, if you're in a friend group that's impulsive or degrading or abusing substances, it's when you're in the activity, that's when you're going to feel, is this genuine to me or is this not? So again, for this other person, this insecure person, if they're like, let's just say they're married to somebody and their spouse has certain activities they do. And whenever they married, it was this insecure person's image that they put out that made them bond to the person they married. But it was just an image. Like they were just sort of acting. And so now once they're actually engaging in the activities with their spouse, now that the facade has passed from engagement into marriage, the person who's doing it for image is going to kind of start showing their true colors and be like, I don't really want to do this right now. And the spouse will be like, well, I thought you loved this. And maybe the spouse will start to pick up, oh, it was for an image, or they're trying to sweeten me up or something. I don't know. And also for the insecure person doing things for an image, if they get into certain groups, those groups are going to have certain activities that they do. And if you're showing a disinterest in the activities, but you're wanting to hang out with the group, it's going to show that you're disingenuous. Like you're disingenuous about the activity. And you might not even, they might start to realize that you aren't even interested really in them. Even your pretend interest in them, they'll start to pick up it's pretend. And they'll be like, well, what is she doing here? Like, why is she here? Because we can tell she's like acting. Like this is a fraud or something. So it's the disingenuousness that's going to be the clue that, whatever you're leaning into is either for an image or maybe it's coming from low self-esteem or the image thing is insecurity. But, if you're not being true to yourself with something that makes you happy, like a hobby or interest that makes you happy, it'll show. So you need to lean into something that makes you happy. And don't do something to impress somebody. Don't do something for an image. Don't do something because it's a whole bunch of other people with low self-esteem who, just all gripe about everything. And, it's doing degrading things, because that's eventually going to catch up to them, by the way. Trust me on that, because when you're 20 or 21, you don't see it. But when you're 42, you definitely see it. The things we do in life matter. So I just wanted to kind of redo this, and I'm kind of glad that I was able to keep this a little bit shorter, because my last one was 35 minutes long. One other little thing that I wanted to add in here really quick is in regards to dissociation and low self-esteem. One thing that I used to do, and I used to do this quite a bit, and I'm going to kind of throw it in here, and I hope it relates correctly, but I used to overly connect with movies or TV shows or characters, and I did grow up in a home where we watched a lot of TV and movies, but there were certain things or themes or even songs that I would get overly connected to. And I think a lot of that has to do with low self-esteem. I do. Because I don't think a confident person would be so influenced by a movie or a song or like a TV show character or a movie character that they start to kind of, you know, like that's where their confidence comes from. I don't think your confidence should come from a TV character, right? Like, let's say there's some character on TV who's so inspiring, you start to quote them or something. You know what I mean? It's embarrassing to even admit stuff like that, but I think it just helps to admit it, just to say it, because I think other people do this a lot. But again, I think that that comes from low self-esteem. I'm trying to even think of a character. For me, it would probably be an existential character. And that's why I would be bonding with them, because they're existential. You know, it's almost like this crazy character gets it. Like, this character gets me. So it could be a character from Absolutely Fabulous, or it could be a character from one of my favorite movies. You know, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, or Fight Club, or, you know, one of those, The House of Yes. You know, so I think that we can bond things like that, and that's coming from low self-esteem as well. But that can eventually lead to a point where you're behaving like a character on a show, for crying out loud, right? Or you're, you know, not every day and not every hour, but you might just like have little things that you relate to, but I don't know that you actually want to incorporate them into your actual life. But I do think it's coming from low self-esteem, and it's something that people do. I think they do. You know, like they always say kids are influenced by video games. I think adults are too, by the way. But kids are influenced by video games or movies, for sure, right? And a lot of that is just because they're not mature yet. But it's kind of the same thing. But I think as an adult, it can be coming from low self-esteem. So the sooner you can engage with your hobby that brings you happiness, the sooner your confidence is going to build, and the sooner you're not going to need to find confidence from some character, right? So I just wanted to add that in really quick. But again, this was a redo of an episode I had to delete because it was having technical problems. So there you go. This is the Complex PTSD guy signing off.